Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Yeah, that's very feisty today. I like it.
Well, no, feisty on a Friday.
I mean, it's a football Friday. We got a lot to talk about. Canty gets all fired up. I mean, that's what happens, man.
That's like good, 12
though. 12 o'clock hour. It's great.
I like it. We're going to bring that down with
like it.
Some cuddling in a little bit, though.
I like cuddling. I'm going to be honest. I do love cuddling.
You're a big cuddling guy?
Big cuddle guy.
Really?
Big cuddle guy. Oh, yeah. Love to spoon it up. Until my arm goes dead. Until I get the dead arm, and then I have to resituate.
Don't you hate when that happens, though?
Oh, it's the worst, dude. And then you got to, like,
it
then you
takes
gotta pick
a while
your arm
for it
up.
To come back, too.
Yeah, then you got to pick it up and, like, take it off. It's the worst.
Yes.
I hate that.
When you can't move your arm.
You can't move it. You got to pick it up.
It's such a weird feeling, too.
It's like Weekend. I feel like Weekend at Bernie's. Like, I'm trying to pick my arm up, and I can't. It's like I don't even. Just trying to smack it around to try to get the blood back.
But there's no way to properly cuddle unless you put your arm in that position where it's going to go dead.
Right. So going in, you know what you're setting yourself up for.
Yes.
I'd like to create a cuddle mattress where there's some way my underarm as I'm spooning can go like under, like into the mattress and under her body
and,
as opposed
and not,
to.
And not take all the
yeah, the brunt.
The
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Be a wealthy guy if you can create the.
See, that would be nice. That could be. Listen. You know, sometime in these situations,
the
you know,
cuddly
you get
mattress.
Creative all this extra time. How pissed would Cassie be, though, if she came up to the bedroom and there's all sorts of cutouts of the mattress?
Yes. What have you done? It's the cuddling mattress.
It's the cuddling mattress.
Right. Well, how did you even think of this? Oh, we were playing, you know, Cuddle Mary, and then we got into it in the 12 o'clock hour, Cass.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's go to Paul, Long Island. Paul, you're next up on 98.7, buddy.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing today?
We're doing all right, man. What's going on?
Hey, Dave, before we get into the conversation, I just got to commend you on, you know, how you handled that tough loss you went through. Ultimate professional, came to work, didn't miss a beat. So, you know, my thoughts and prayers go out to
Thank
you and
you.
Your family.
Thank you. Very
hey,
nice.
Hey, guys, this is Paul from BK Sweeney's Parkside Tavern and Beth Page from the tailgate.
Oh, Paul, the fire master, grill master,
grill
Paul?
Grill master, yes. Oh. So May 10th was our anniversary, guys. We had a great day that day. You guys were unbelievable. But, you know, we take a lot of for granted as human beings. And you start thinking about, you know, when or if we'll ever be able to do something like this again. You know, that was an unbelievable day. Or are we going to be able to get on a bus and go celebrate
yeah, we will.
The ball game?
We will. We will.
We will, right?
We will. Yeah. We'll
Sweeney's
get back.
Is, Sweeney's is hanging in there, guys. You know, all these little places, these little businesses, it's real tough. You know, John, the owner, is his uncertainty moving forward. But, you know, that community is unbelievable. They're still packing the shelves for the food pantry and raising money for feeding the first responders. So just a little shout-out to all those small businesses that are struggling out there to hang in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for checking in.
All right,
we're
guys.
Glad that you guys
we'll
are.
We'll do it yeah, again, hopefully, right? We'll do that trip again, I hope.
Oh, I promise.
Yeah.
When we can, Paul, we would love to. Isn't it? That's a year ago. That was one of the great days we've had, wasn't it?
I loved everything about that day, yeah.
Oh.
And we got a win. And that was, I mean, one of the
not only did we get a win, no, but they scored like nine runs in the first inning.
No, you guys got a win. I took a loss that day. It was fun. It was fun. But I was in bad shape in the car ride home.
Yeah, I remember asking, like, where's Canty? Like, Canty left. What do you mean he left? He couldn't continue.
Exactly.
That was a quote.
Exactly.
He couldn't continue was a quote.
Yeah. DNC. Yeah. I was. Yeah.
He was like, I mean, he's in the parking lot like Stephen Hill trying to hold a sausage. He's dropping sausages all over the place. He's drinking Patron on the whole bus
ride. That's what it
mangled.
Was. The Patron did me in. You know, I had a couple of beers at BK Sweeney's, but that Patron on the way to the ballpark, that's what took me over the top. Not in a good way.
Yeah, that won't be.
But I had a blast though. That was fun. That entire
that
day
great.
Was fun. That was a top five moment on this show for me. No question about it.
Clearly. Because we got to interact with our fans, which was so much fun. And BK Sweeney's was great in hosting it. And then, I mean, everything was perfect.
Yeah, Dave, we had been talking about it for months, right? And so usually when you hype something up like that, you know, it doesn't live up to the hype. I feel like that day exceeded the hype. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it did.
It was an awesome day. I hope we do have an opportunity to do it again. I really do. That was fun.
I hope so. That's something we can all look forward to. Do it bigger and better than last time, though.
And hopefully I don't have to tap up before we even go into the stadium.
Well, now you know. now you know the downfalls.
I got to have a better game plan.
That was Canty's no mas moment. No more. I can't do
Roberto
it.
Roberto Duran, yeah. I can't. No mas. No mas.
Man, I keep telling you guys, you got to protect the athlete from themselves, man. Rico, you should have seen the way that this was going. You knew I didn't need to have the Patron bottle in my hand that long.
Yeah, but you know, Chris, you know, once me and you start, man, there's no breaks. So I just let you do your thing.
I guess you owe me that one based on what happened on that flight down to Houston for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly right. No stop sign, speed limits, buddy. Yeah, but you gave me your food, which I couldn't eat because I was so sick. Yeah, that was bad.
And you know the one common thread with that? Patron.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us ending up in bad situations always traces back to Patron.
Ooh. Yep, that's going to be the common denominator. Leo Jersey. Leo, you're next up, buddy.
I wanted to chime in on those players getting in trouble. If you guys can remember back in the crack epidemic days when people were on the high and they were doing crazy stuff, things like this, to me, it's not, you know, it's crazy nowadays that the crack epidemic is gone. But
we're comparing. How are we going from the crack epidemic to this? I don't understand.
Well, you guys are saying that they don't make no sense. But if you think about it, these guys are out in a partying 2 days in a row. They probably did some drugs that they shouldn't be doing.
Oh, come on. I mean, is it how this is what we're just going to wildly speculate what's happening here?
Well, you're saying that it don't make any sense to me. They partying for 2 days and they doing crazy stuff like this. They gambling, they're probably doing drugs, and they wind up, you know, let's wind up in situations like this. I mean, I'm just saying that.
Look, Leo, it's not a good look, and I'm not going to deny that. Thanks for the call, but I'm not going to start to speculate. And I have a feeling in the coming days we're going to find out more about this story. But to compare this to the crack epidemic,
he's probably watched too many Chappelle episodes in the World Series of Dice.
Oh my God, how do we go from where we are now to back then?
I don't know, Dave. I know people that have said things being hyperbolic. You got to be on crack to do something like that. I don't think anybody was trying to seriously apply that, though. You can't speculate on something like that. We have no idea.
Just to assume, hey, you're partying for 2 days, you got to be doing
well. Obviously, you're on crack.
He's got to be on crack if he thought he was going to get away with armed robbery.
My God. People are unbelievable. I love how the speculation just runs wild.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's obvious.
I've got the answer, Dave. He was on crack.
Yeah. Guys, you're missing the elephant in the room. Crack.
But that's how dumb it is. When you read this report, I mean, that's how crazy, that's how dumb it seems to make that decision. Like, there has to be, like, you have to be on some mind-altering drug for you to be this stupid.
Or you just don't appreciate repercussions.
Or you think there's no repercussions.
Right, nothing ever happens to me. Look, God knows what he's done in the past has been covered up for. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he just thinks, whatever I do, there's a way that they figure out a way to make this go away.
But that's the part of it that Dave Gettleman has to be responsible, Dave. All the little incidents, all the little events that he might have got away with in Georgia or he might have got away with in high school down there in South Florida, you need to have all of the facts before you make a decision to bring a guy like that into your organization and into your locker room where you really don't have a whole lot of leadership. And I think that this is why it's fair to hold this situation against Dave Gettleman, because he's the one that's responsible for making this a negative headline for the New York Giants. No one else. Other than DeAndre Baker. So, yeah, this is going to put more pressure on your general manager going into 2020.
Yeah, this is awful for him.
Yeah.
I mean, Baker is the number one guy that, you know, it's bad for. And number two is Gettleman.
It's bad for the Giants, period. It's a bad look for the Giants.
But it's worse for Gettleman. Yes, you're right. It's an awful look. You look ridiculous. You have a pandemic. With what's going on in the world, you have a player that's allegedly robbing a party at gunpoint. It looks terrible for the organization.
Yeah, and that's been part of the problem with this Giants team over the last couple of years with the lack of success. I mean, the Giants franchise has lost some of its shine. I mean, it really has. No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was something that you took pride in. I remember Chris said, I mean, when he first started doing the show, I mean, and he would talk about, you know, his Giants teams, like it just felt different when you walked into the building. And then when he retired, he went back into the building. He's like, this doesn't feel the same. The Giants way just doesn't exist right now.
Yeah, because they say that I'm no longer welcome back in the building. That's another story.
I don't know where to go there.
He got the ring, though. Listen, that's all about.
I do have the ring. My name is on one of the trophies at 1925 Giants Drive.
There you go. Yeah. So really, you are in the building.
You hope. You hope.
They etched it out.
On any given day.
Can you just scrub that name from the trophy? Let's go to Train in the Truck. Train, you're on 98.7.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Hope you guys are all safe. Listen, I just want to say, Rick, they did actually make a mattress like that. If you look it up, I've seen a commercial on that. You know, so I think they
is it a mattress? See, Train, I think you're right. I don't know. Is it a mattress?
You lay in, and it's like a slit in it where you can slip your arm inside of it. So you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they even called it like the cuddle mattress. I believe.
Is it? I don't know. See, I didn't know if it was a mattress or if it was like an accessory you could buy to put on your mattress.
Oh, you know what?
I think it was an accessory.
I'm not sure. All right, but, you know, when you said it, it kind of rang a bell real quick. I just wanted to say real quick, too, that, I mean, oh, Chris, you know, I think it's every 5 years you get to sign a new CBA for the TV. You know, that's a good sacrifice for Golden Girls. You know what I'm saying? It'll get you far. I've been with my wife 12 years, and every 5 years you got to get a new renegotiation going on. You know what I'm saying? But, no, seriously, though, I think, I'm not going to state the obvious here, but I think something's got to be wrong mentally. I know I pulled about Jordan, but I'm talking about DeAndre Baker. You know, hearing you guys talk about it kind of made me think about myself and how, like, you know, I've been arrested a bunch of times when I was young, but for, like, stupid stuff, you know, loitering, hanging out with my friends and stuff. But, like, I take it from Chris' perspective, and I know you're from the Bronx, so you've had to come across situations that you've let fly by and that maybe you could have took it further, and then having access to so much money that you've ever had in your life, you could buy a weapon, you could do things like that, but you never went there, or Rick, or even Dave, maybe, I don't know, but, you know, you have to be somewhere else mentally, maybe the people you hang out with, the way you're brought up, because, you know, I've never thought of doing something so serious like that, you know, knowing that I could if I really wanted to. So I think these people just kind of take advantage of the situation and money and think they're going to get away with things. And I just think something's really got to be off with you mentally. You know, Jordan could have did that, losing all that money gambling. He could have did something, you know, crazy and ended up in jail. But he held his composure. So that's all I wanted to say. I just think something's really got to be off. And, you know, whatever that may be, they need some kind of therapy. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to see what you guys thought about that.
I think we agree. And thanks for the call. Right, Chris? I mean, something is clearly, I don't know what it stems from or how far back it goes or what it actually is, but there's something clearly wrong with DeAndre Baker.
Dave, it sounds like he was entirely too comfortable with the plan to go and rob people at gunpoint at a party. Like, I can't believe that this is the first time where he's had some kind of incident of violence in his past. And so, I can't understand it. I just wish the player would have a little more awareness of the situation where we're at in this country, but also the situations that he's putting himself in, and recognize the potential consequences of his actions. And clearly, DeAndre Baker wasn't thinking about any of that when he rolled up to that second party.
No, not even a little bit. All right, Rick, you ready?
I am ready.
Mary?
Let's cuddle Mary in trash. Cuddle Mary trash.
Cuddle Mary Tread, a little CMT. Here we go.
Santi, do we have a new sounder for the cuddle?
Does someone need a hug?
Much better.
Yeah, I don't love that either.
It's much better.
Yeah, it's much better. Okay, we'll go with that. All right, here we go. We're going to dive in. We did NFC South yesterday. We're going to dive into the AFC South today, which seems fitting when we're talking about bad general managers.
I mean, I'm surprised you're not going back to the NFC South.
I do love the NFC South.
I know you do. A second.
Here we go. We're going to start with this one. The Indianapolis Colts will win the AFC South.
Ooh.
Bold.
I'll cuddle that.
Does someone need a hug?
Because Houston still has a terrific quarterback, although I don't think they'll be the team. And Tennessee is a terrific team. So I like Indianapolis. I think there's a reasonable chance that they do win the division, but I'm not going to commit to that long term. So I'll cuddle that. But I won't marry it, and I certainly won't trash it.
I'm going to trash that. Thank you for that, Don. You're talking about having change at the quarterback position, which is the most important position in team sports, in an offseason where you don't have the opportunity to work out a lot of the things on the offensive side of the ball actually on the field. So I just think there's going to be too steep of a learning curve with the rest of the guys on the offense that Frank Reich is going to run with Phillip Rivers. It's going to be different than what they had with Jacoby Brissett. And so I just, with that kind of change, I just don't know that that's going to lend itself to the team being able to move past the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans as the favorites in the division. I don't see a path to them being able to win the AFC South. I don't see it.
All right, so you're trashing. You're trashing.
Trashing it.
Okay.
All right, so we went from the best, now we'll go to the worst. The Jacksonville Jaguars will be the worst team in the entire NFL.
In the entire NFL. Yeah, here comes the bride, baby. I'll marry that.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
They're awful. I don't think they want to be good. I think they're in it for Trevor Lawrence, and I don't think they're a good team. I mean, they've already said they've traded their better players away. Their best player now, Ngakoue, doesn't want to be there. Fournette won't be there for long. The quarterback situation, he's a nice story. I don't trust Gardner Minshew, so they're a lousy football team, who I think is okay with being a lousy football team. Yes, worst team in football, marry it.
I could see that actually happening, the Jaguars being the worst team in the NFL, but I'm not going to marry it. I'm going to cuddle that just because I think the Carolina Panthers and the Detroit Lions are going to give them a run. Right now we're talking about the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, teams wanting to get that next franchise quarterback, and I think all three of those teams will be in the running to have the first pick. So while I like the Jaguars being the worst team in the NFL, I don't love it enough to marry it. I'm just going to cuddle it.
All right, speaking of the Jaguars, to Dave's earlier point in his answer, Yannick Ngakoue will be a Jaguar to start this upcoming season.
Chris, you want to take the lead on this one?
Yeah, I'll take the lead on this one. I think he will, just because of what's going on with the pandemic and teams not being able to work out a lot of things transactionally in terms of players being able to take physicals. I think that Yannick Ngakoue starts the season as a Jaguar, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't end the season as a Jaguar. I think he ultimately ends up getting traded at some point during the regular season deadline.
You're cuddling that? You're not marrying that, are you?
No, I'm not marrying it. I'm cuddling.
Does someone need a hug?
Yeah, cuddle. I'm gonna do the same. I think it's gonna be hard to make a move before the season starts. I will cuddle that as well. I don't know. Obviously, long term, he's not gonna be there. And you think now with the extended trade deadline that there's a good chance that they deal him before the deadline, make themselves worse, acquire more picks for this coming draft. So I agree with Chris. I will cuddle Ngakoue. Will start the season. Will not be there long term though.
All right. Final question for today's cuddle, marry, trash for the AFC South. Deshaun Watson will be the next highest paid player in the NFL.
Well, it certainly won't be Dak Prescott.
he's such a troll.
You hear what he's doing to me today? I mean, he's playing horrible music all day.
Yeah, but I mean, your guy got arrested and you traded.
They won't pay his quarterback.
traded three picks to go up and get him. Dak Prescott he hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah, I'll cuddle that. I think there's a good chance that he's going to be the next highest paid quarterback, at least for a couple of minutes.
Does someone need a hug?
I don't know that this is going to last for long, that he's going to be that guy. But in all seriousness, I don't think it's good. I think you have to factor in Dak Prescott there. And I don't believe that they're going to pay Dak Prescott, prior to July 15th. So I'll cuddle right into that. Watson's the highest paid quarterback at some time soon.
Yeah, I'll marry this one, Rico, and for the sole reason that I think there's more urgency in Houston to get Watson wrapped up with a new contract than there is in Kansas City. Sounds like Pat Mahomes is willing to be patient and work with Brett Veach, Andy Reid, and the organization on trying to make sure that they put the best team out there that they possibly can, and that's a team that's right up against the cap. I think Houston, because of what happened this offseason, trading DeAndre Hopkins, some questionable moves by Bill O'Brien, they got to make their star quarterback happy. And Watson is trending on being a top five quarterback in this league. I think he becomes the next highest paid player in the NFL. So I'm going to marry it.
There you go, fellas. Well done. That might have been the best cuddle, marry, trash yet.
That was lovely.
I like it.
I enjoyed it greatly. everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or your sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. This is James Harrison's story before we get to the observations. Very, very interesting. So Harrison says he was fined $75,000 by the league for the hit on Muhammad Massaquoi back in 2010. He says that the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, gave him an envelope, didn't disclose what was in it, but said gave him an envelope following that. Tomlin says not true. Rooney says not true. I guess my question would be, of all of this, is, Rick, why would you do that if you thought it was such a great thing to kind of call your coach out for giving you an envelope after that big fine?
I don't think he probably wasn't thinking. I mean, he was on a podcast. You know, we've seen plenty of people get a little bit too comfortable in podcasts.
Especially with Willie Colon.
Yeah, especially with Willie Colon. I mean, Chris is probably better to answer this question, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, especially at the time. This is 2010. This is before the whole Bountygate thing.
Right.
That because, I mean, let's face it, intimidation is a real thing in the NFL, and James Harrison is one of the most intimidating players, or was at the time, in the NFL. I mean, shouldn't have been fined. It was a clean hit, in my opinion, that, you know, you want him to keep that aggressiveness. You don't want him to, you know, lose that edge. So you give him an envelope paying for his fine.
Yeah, I think by Harrison putting a name on it and saying it was Tomlin is where he violated the code.
Yep.
Now, there's nothing wrong with saying that the organization made it right. You leave it up to interpretation. There's a little bit of wiggle room in there. Mm-hmm. But when you say that the head coach gave me an envelope and I'm not going to say what's in the envelope, well, I think people can put two and two together. You were fined $75,000 for a hit, and the coach didn't think that that was a hit that deserved that kind of discipline, and so he gave you that money back. Like, you can lead people down the road, but you got to leave enough ambiguity where nobody in the organization can be investigated and held accountable for doing something like that. Everybody respects Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is one of the most respected head coaches in the National Football League, especially amongst players. For James Harrison to put him in a box like this, that was just a bad look. Now, I get it. He's sitting down talking to on a podcast with one of his former teammates, but that's one of those things that you can't let out of the bag, man. You gotta keep that one quiet.
And you knew because you held it tight for 10 years, and then you let it go.
Yeah, but in his mind, I mean, sitting with a former teammate who, I mean, Willie Colon played with James Harrison. He was a part of the Steelers organization, so he knows, you know, how they do business. It wasn't like he wasn't breaking news to Willie Colon. I mean, I don't think at the time when he said it, did he think it was going to turn into such a big deal?
Right.
That's how they did business back then.
Yeah. Listen, I get it.
It's good PR for Mike Tomlin when it comes to NFL players, though. How would you not want to go play for that guy?
And of course he's going to deny it. I mean, of course Rooney's going to deny it. I mean, it very well likely could have been, you know, ownership given the money to Tomlin to give to James Harrison.
Oh, yeah, they have to deny it, Rick. They have to deny it. You're talking about suspensions if they don't. You're talking about fines if they don't. You can't, they can't right. Come out and say this is something that happened.
So now it's a he said, she said, and they can't be convicted because there's no proof of that, but...
Yeah, they can't prove it, but that doesn't mean that the NFL is not going to investigate it. And why would you want them to have to deal with that hassle if you're James Harrison?
Yeah, I think this is he didn't really think it through and how
Agreed.
Big of a deal and how big of a
Agreed.
Story. He was probably very comfortable. He's talking to a friend of his. He didn't realize it would get these kind of legs, and then he made a mistake.
And just so James Harrison knows, if he just so happens to hear this, we're not putting him in observations. We're just saying that we wish he wouldn't have been so transparent on the podcast. That's all we're saying.
Yes.
And so James knows, I think the hit was legal, James, and I have, listen, no problem with the hit.
Yeah, we want no smoke with James Harrison. None of that.
All right, let's go. Let's start it out. Now, observations.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, fellas, here we go on this Football Friday. Little Knobservation. So we had a caller, I don't know, about a half hour ago mentioned the crack epidemic, and it actually made me think. starting up the book club, and I have some essential reading for you guys. When I saw this at the time, it was around I don't know, 4 a.m. So I couldn't believe I saw it. And then I'm like, well, it was a commercial, so I must have seen it. Here's your required reading for the next couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
The book's title is What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO.
Oh.
Aggressive title, no?
You're very.
Would you care to guess who wrote that book?
No, I'm not guessing who wrote that book, no.
That is the CEO of MyPillow.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that.
I know you did. I didn't believe it when I saw it. I was like, this can't be right.
And no, he really was. That's right.
Well, I know Bobby Brown didn't write that book. You could have eliminated him off the top.
What's his name?
That's Mike Lindell.
Yeah, and he just spoke at the White House recently, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
It's an aggressive title. Aggressive title. All right, here we go. I got some good news to start this. Good news, fellas. The Los Angeles Rams have new uniforms.
Is that good news?
Well, I guess it's good news if you like the uniforms. Bad news if you don't. Eric Dickerson doesn't like the new uniforms. Says the Rams horns look like two bananas in that the color scheme and everything else makes them look soft.
Wait, doesn't he still work for the organization?
He does. Yes, he does. But he's been very critical. Would you guys care to know what the new colors are called?
No, I'd love to know that.
Okay, so the blue is called Rams Royal. The bright yellow is called Soul. And then the white is called Bone. So the white combo is bone on bone.
Yeah, because that's a great idea.
Which I feel like by definition can't be soft, but, I mean, again, potato, potato. What do you guys feel? How do you guys feel about the new look by the Rams?
I hate them.
I like the helmet. The rest of the unis are trash.
It's awful.
They're trash. They look like a Pop Warner team.
The Rams.
I don't know why they separated the horn, though.
To make it look 3D. Terribly.
That doesn't look 3D, though.
Yeah, I think they were going for like that wave effect type of look. I think that's what they wanted to do. Southern California.
The only thing that they did right was bring back the blue and yellow, and now they're not even calling it blue and yellow. Everything else is a mess.
No, it's Royal. Thing. No, it's Rams Royal and Soul.
I'm not calling it that.
Then you got the bone on bone. You're
not calling it that.
They're not good looking uniforms.
You prefer the bone on bone?
And the Rams used to have nice uniforms, too.
And then the white one looks like a practice jersey.
No, that's the bone on bone. You prefer that one?
I'm not calling it that.
This might be the worst uniform that's been unveiled all offseason.
Yeah, and that's saying a lot because the Falcons one is pretty bad.
Yeah, the Falcons one is bad. But this is worse. This is a lot
worse. We all agree the Chargers are the best, no?
Yes.
Yeah, the Chargers are dope. Now, the venue that the Rams will be calling home, that's going to be pretty cool. I can't wait to see that.
Who knows when I'm going to get a chance to see it now?
Good point.
At this point.
Good point.
Here we go. Did this happen in Florida, fellas?
Ooh. Some point, Rick, I'd like to jump in. I have another update with the 5-year-old car thief.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
All right, so just get this one out of the way quick. Did this happen in Florida? A former first-round NFL draft pick from 2019 has an arrest warrant out for... Mm-hmm. That's too easy.
yes, it was Florida.
I'll say yes, Florida.
Yes, Florida. That was DeAndre Baker. What do you have for an update, Dave, with the 5-year-old?
I feel like I shouldn't even share it now because
you're
putting me in a bad way, but I will. This kid, the best movies ever made was stealing this car and driving on the highway. He was, and I almost feel like other people in this country aren't dealing with the pandemic. He and his family were flown out to California, to L.A., to talk with Shaq. Lil Pump on FaceTime, and then had a face-to-face meeting with Jamie Foxx before he was allowed by a car dealer to drive a Ferrari and a Hummer on the lap of his father.
Glory be to God. All praise to Allah. God bless America.
What is happening?
Oh, my goodness. I don't. I have no idea. It's spreading. Florida is spreading.
So Jamie Foxx, we're in a pandemic. You can't be near other people saying, yeah, bring this kid to my home?
Yeah, but why are we glorifying what he did? He stole the car and then...
I don't understand. He could have killed people.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
He's not exactly teaching the kid his lesson. Can we all agree on that?
He'll never do that again, right?
Right.
That's like... Like when you were a little kid and like you accidentally like took something from a store without, you know, your parents knowing and you walked out. Like, have you ever did that? Yep. Have you ever done that?
Yep.
And then like they make you like go back to the store and apologize and give it back, whatever.
They don't,
it is, like,
they don't let you go on like a shopping spree.
Exactly right.
You're right. Go into the store now. Get anything you want.
Target heard the story and they actually flew them to Target.
The story. Run up and down the aisles. Put everything you can into this cart. Let's get out of here. Free of charge.
Oh, my goodness. All right, here we go. Here's another. Did this happen in Florida? Better yet, was this product created in Florida? This is potentially why we could be doomed with this whole pandemic. So everyone's wearing masks now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a new mask now because, God forbid, you go anywhere with the mask and can't drink something that comes with a hole in the mouth so that you can go to a bar and drink through a straw with the mask on.
So lowering the mask is too much to take a sip?
You're not lowering it. There's actually a little slit right by the mouth. You can just stick the straw right into it.
But doesn't that defeat the whole purpose, really, of the mask?
You would think. Yeah, within a half an hour of the launch of these masks, they were sold out.
Of course they were.
Of course they were. These masks are particularly useful to those who spend more time in public because now you can just go and have a drink whenever you want.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. Were these masks created in the beautiful state of Florida?
Oh, my goodness. Were they created in Florida? Does feel like it. But I don't know. Everywhere is Florida now.
Come on, David. You've been on a hot streak.
I know, and that's what concerns me. I'm going to say...
Go with your initial thought. Don't
overthink it. My initial thought is no. It's not Florida.
All right, so Dave says no. Candy, what do you think?
No, not Florida.
I'm going to say it's Florida.
Ooh,
sounds a lot like Florida to me.
Does sound very Florida-ish. Santy.
I'm going to cast the wide net and say that it's not Florida.
Casting the wide net. Santy and Dave are correct. That is actually Louisiana.
Yes.
Louisiana.
I'm just going to start agreeing with Dave on every single one now.
I can't believe it.
Every time I go against Dave, I end up being wrong. I'm not doing it anymore. When Dave votes on did it happen in Florida, just whatever he says, that's what I'm going with you.
Because everywhere is Florida.
It's ridiculous.
Everyone's caught up.
It's spreading.
Certain states are past Florida.
All right, let me ask you guys a question. Tell me if this would freak you out at all. This is not did this happen in Florida. This happened in Virginia. So there is a 3-star restaurant, okay, that has outdoor dining but also has indoor dining, right? So they're going to allow outdoor dining with the social distancing and everything else, 50% capacity. At some point, just being ready for when it happens, they're going to have hopefully 50% capacity inside the restaurant.
Okay.
What the person that owns this restaurant is going to do, just to make it, I guess, more comfortable with the social distancing, he is going to have mannequins. 19. No, you're laughing. He's going to have, in the dining hall, is going to be decked out with mannequins dressed up in 1940s garb. And here's where it gets freaky, is that he's actually even instructed waiters to serve them wine and interact with the mannequins like they're human, real-life
beings. So you have to walk up and be like, so what would you like?
Yeah. Like, you're going to have to just predict, the waiters are going to have to pretend or waitresses.
They'll tell the mannequins the specials.
Yes.
Drizzled olive oil right on top of it.
Oh, my God. That would freak me out a little bit. I'm going to be honest.
And a pinch of paprika.
I don't like your attitude, sir. How dare you?
Oh, my gosh.
All right, and the final observation for today, and Canty, I know you watched it, and I was disgusted when I watched it. UFC, the Teixeira-Smith fight, the fact that fight wasn't stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, referee, more importantly, Anthony Smith's corner, what are we doing? I mean, the guy took an absolute beating. Beating, and they didn't stop the fight.
Yeah, that's not what you're looking to do in terms of maximizing the opportunity with having so much visibility because nothing else is going on in the world of sports. Like you want to put on competitive fights, but you don't want any of your fighters to get brutalized to the point where people are getting turned off by the sport. Like that's just not the thing. That's just not a good look. So I'm right there with you.
I mean, he lost 2 teeth. I mean, he broke his orbital bone. How about this? So first two rounds, right? significant strikes, okay? 73-44, right? From that point on until the fight was over, Smith was outlanded significant strikes 94-13.
Wow.
94-13.
So did it went the distance this fight?
The fight, it went into the fifth round.
I thought it was a stop in the fifth round, though.
Yeah, stop in the fifth round. It should have stopped after the fourth. The referee asked them, the referee asked the question. And he turned his back, which apparently from, you know, everyone that you've heard in UFC is a clear indication that he doesn't want to say the fight should be stopped because he's got too much pride to say that. But by not answering, he's like, okay, stop this thing, please. Do me a favor. And they didn't stop it. It was a beating, dude.
That was bad.
Fifth round, huh?
Yeah, that was bad.
Finish. Like when they finally stopped it, it was just, I mean, it was Teixeira just unloading shot after shot.
So you're, the beating you're that guy it? Took was worse than the one that Ferguson took.
Yes.
You guys both watched this thing. At the end of four rounds, did you think to yourself, they've got to stop this now?
You could tell he was done.
You knew it?
He was done. Like, listen, we were watching the Ferguson fight, and we knew after the third round, Ferguson had no chance to being able to win that fight against Gaethje. No shot. This one fight that Ricky's talking about now, that was even more lopsided. So
it was a beatdown. Yeah, it was a beatdown. All right, fellas, there you have it. That is a Friday edition of Knob Observations.
All right, lovely. Lovely job.
We should have put Dan Mullen in Observations too, Rick. We should have.
What did he do?
Well, he's talking about having players being back in the weight room over the next couple of weeks. I just think it's way too soon to be talking about kids coming back on campus, especially when all of these college campuses are shut down to regular students. It's ridiculous. I think Lincoln Riley is the only coach in a Power Five conference that has gone on record and said anything that's reasonable about this situation.
What did I tell you though?
You said it. I was wrong. This is me admitting I was wrong. You said it. You said it would happen.
We can keep them safer here. How many times have we already heard that over the last couple of days?
Not safe for regular students to be on campus. But we feel like it's safer for the football players to be here.
But how is that safer than being locked away at home with your family?
It's not, Dave. It's not. It's ridiculous. But at least Lincoln Riley has some sense that he says, you know what? We have to think about what's in the best interest of the kid. And the reality is, it's not in their best interest to be here right now. It's not.
No. No.
I understand there's so much money. But the more time you have, the better decisions you can make. And Lincoln Riley said it, you're going to have one shot to do this the right way because you can't stop and start and restart this thing. If spring football is an option, I mean, I know it would be weird, but if you could get a full schedule played in spring.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about how many more answers we'll have to these questions by that time.
Rico, also think about how many players that are already stars in college football will decide to sit out because they don't want to play a college season and an NFL season in the same calendar year.
Well, that's fine. You're right. I mean, you'll maybe lose a Trevor Lawrence and some guys that are going to go into the NFL draft.
And to that, I would say, so what to college football?
Exactly right. I mean, so who cares about revenues? People are still going to be. How many people do you think at Clemson, if all these students now we have a vaccine or whatever it is, you can go to a game and going to be like, you know what? I'm going to skip it because Trevor Lawrence isn't playing. They're still going to pack.
Oh, they're still going to pack. Yeah, they're still going to pack the stadium. No question about it.
Sometimes you forget what day it is.
You can't forget it's Friday.
No,
my kids won't let me forget it's Friday. Football Friday.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go. What were you
going
to say?
So the band practice is going on upstairs right now. I don't know if you can hear it or not.
Ooh, you got band practices. Yeah. What instruments?
The trombone and the
nice
bassoon, I believe.
Ah, a fellow bassoon player.
Were you a bassoon player?
Yeah, it's one of the strange things that I'm actually good at. I played the bassoon and the clarinet in the high school marching band. Then I realized that the kids' girlfriends that are in the marching band don't look as good as the kids' girlfriends that actually play in the game.
And you decided to
forego
your musical career.
There you go.
Yep. So a little.
You didn't know that about me, did you, Dave?
You learned something new every day. We love the Golden Girls. Bassoon.
No, that's not my thing. The Golden Girls is not my thing. That's my lady's thing, but I'm forced to watch it with her.
But the bassoon
and clarinet are all me. It's all me.
You learn stuff all the time. By the way, Steven Jackson will be on with Bart and Hahn today, right at the top of the 2 o'clock hour.
Could you imagine Chris Canty 6'8", 330 in a marching band playing a clarinet?
No.
We got pictures somewhere, Rico. There's visual evidence of that.
The clarinet would look like a toothpick
like
in your hand.
Yeah. He's tossing it up in the air in between.
Hey guys, this one time at band camp.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no.
Don't sleep on band camp. Some crazy stuff happens at band camp.
That was a terrific movie, by the way.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Really. American speaking of movies, tonight's Friday night, movie night at the DPHO residence.
Yeah, what do you got tonight?
Kids are pushing for Scooby, as Milo calls it, Scooby Dooby.
Scooby Dooby?
Scooby Dooby, yeah. But we'll end up, it'll be Jumanji, watch. We'll end up watching Jumanji
again.
For the again?
Yeah,
for the umpteenth time?
The kid loves it. He cannot stop watching Jumanji. Obsessed.
Really?
With it. Loves it.
Is there a point where you'll say just enough, we cannot watch Jumanji again?
My wife's at that point, I'm not. If it keeps them occupied, they love it, so what am I going to say?
We might watch Forrest Gump tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Kids have not seen it. I think it's a movie
box
they should
of chocolates?
Watch.
Popcorn? Are you going to go popcorn during the movie or no? What do you got going on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not a boy. You make your own
animals?
Popcorn?
Of course.
I like it.
Who doesn't like popcorn?
I love popcorn.
All right. So Bart and Han coming your way in just a matter of moments, followed by the K Show, followed by Carlin, followed by Hardesty. But for now, for us, it's Rule of 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's Humpty Canty. Marching band can't, Rothy.
I wasn't in the marching band.
Ah, yeah, you were. And.
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.